Senior Pastor, welcome to the stage.
Hey, whoa. Give the creative team a huge round of applause. Turn to the person next to you and just say, you look incredible this morning. And you may be seated. It's ruined my... We got a bunch of flyers. You've seen this. Have a look on your seat. Might be sort of under you. And we're going to do some letterbox dropping. Is that all right? And I think I mentioned last week, one of the things we get told quite regularly is that people don't know about us as a church. And they said, wow, I didn't know you were there. We're not on the main road. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of a promotion to get out there. We've done this before. We started this church almost 10 years ago. We did 40,000 in this area. Isn't that good? And do you know some of those flyers? I think I might have mentioned this before. One of those flyers stuck on someone's fridge for almost a year. And then they decided to come to church. And that's as the story goes, that was the Luxtons. Is that right? And, you know, wow, look at that. It took them a year to come. Yeah, they're a little bit slow. Yeah, sometimes they're late. But isn't that good? And there was other people the same that got the flyer, came along, and there's people out there that need to know about God, and there's people out there that need to know about a church in this area that loves them and wants to look after them. Amen? And so... you can get a bunch of these. We'll get some up the back there. We might put them on that little place up the back there, or actually out on the silver thing out there. We'll get a whole bunch. And why don't you just take someone and let a box drop your area wherever you are. Why don't you go for a walk with your dog? If you don't have a dog, just borrow one and don't steal one. Just go for a walk around your neighborhood and just pop them in the letterbox, and you never know what could happen. Amen? Who says amen? Yes, it's a bit warm in here. We haven't got the aircon on. We've got to flick it over to summer mode, which we'll have that done for next week. But it's going to be absolutely beautiful and cool next week. Well, this is the last message in the series on the armor of God. And the last part of what I'm going to say is that year, because it's the last. Just my insecurity speaking. So here we go. This is it. And we should all know this by now. Is that correct? Who knows this passage off by heart? And this morning I'm looking forward to this because it's quite practical and it's going to get into your face a bit. But we're going to start by reading Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You want strength? You want strength for your life? It comes from God. Simple as that. You can spend all sorts of time, put all sorts of time and resource and money into strengthening your life and strengthening your marriage and strengthening your relationship. And those things are great. They do work. But I tell you what, the number one way to see your family, your life, your marriage, your finance, every aspect of your life strengthened is to get that strength from God. Amen? All those things do have, the Bible says you can strengthen your body. It says it profits a little. But if you want to see true strength and power in your life, then you need to get a hold of God. And then it goes verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is the key point, verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Whether you know it or not, you are in a spiritual battle. You're in the midst of it. You're sitting in it. It's waging all around you. There is a spiritual scene happening. If we got a glimpse of it, we would be shocked at what we see. I can't wait to see the spiritual side and you know what an angel looks like. Maybe there's someone in the room that's actually seen an angel. I'm sure there's probably someone. There always isn't one crowd. But you hear these stories of people that have seen angels and seen spiritual things, and it's amazing. And can I just say, that's our reality. That's where we end up. Are you with me? This is not our reality. This is not it. This is just what we have for a brief moment compared to eternity and what we live in. And there is everything going around us. There is a spiritual scene going around us. And we need to be aware of that. And we need to realize that our greatest fight is in that realm, not in the natural. In this day and age, everyone wants you to just to deny that there is a spiritual. I mean, it's tough. You bring it up with someone and they kind of straight away they look at you sideways. You start talking about even Jesus these days. You start talking about people just look at you sideways. I know there's people that are into the spiritual, but it seems to be more new age. It's about feelings and crystals and everything. You start talking about angels and demons and the devil and God and people go, because this world wants us just to think this is it. This is it. The Bible says to us, man, you've got to be prepared that there is a spiritual scene happening all around you right now. And this is why we come to church. This is why we need to be in a body. This is why we need to have like-minded believers around us, because no matter what is going on, if there is a struggle in your house, if there is a marriage struggle, financial struggle, can I tell you that there is a spiritual struggle to do with that? Are you with me? There is something going on, and we as believers need to realize that and get ourselves in that space. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God so you'll be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. God wants us to be equipped to stand. There's stuff that's going to come against your life. It's just the way life works. But God wants to equip you to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. We talked about that, the truth of God. You tuck all your thoughts and feelings into God's truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, man, to keep your heart protected, to have that revelation that you are right with God and your heart protected, that heart is that motivation for your Christianity, for your life with God. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Man, to have your peace with God. And to be ready to go and share that peace, knowing what that is. Knowing how precious that is that you have over your life. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which we talked about, with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. That faith is the first line of defense we talked about. It's the area in your life where things come against. You lose your faith, and I tell you what, you're going to find yourself in some trouble. If you stop believing that God is for you and God is going before you and that things can turn out for good because God's on your side, you lose that and you'll find yourself in a desperate place. Are you with me? We've got to grab that faith shield and we've got to build it. We've got to make sure that our faith is grounded in God. That's where it comes from. And if you, no matter what you're facing right now, if your mind starts to think, you know, God doesn't really care, or he hasn't answered prayers, and this is the situation I've been in. I've been in this situation for such a long time, and this is just the way life is for me, and I'm never going to get out of this, and this is what my parents lived like, and this is how we're going to live, and there's no hope in that. You know what, friend? You need to pick up that shield of faith. You need to figure out a way. Get with someone. Come and see someone here. Let us get alongside you and give you a revelation of the faith that you have. Because no matter what you're up against, God is on your side. You lose that, what have we got? Faith is our first line of defense. So we stand strong in that. Taking up the shield of faith, we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one and take the helmet of salvation. We talked about that last week, your identity. Your identity in God is your helmet of salvation. You are saved. No matter what you were before, you have a helmet of salvation. You have a new identity. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Whatever happened to you in the past can dissipate in your life, and you can understand the revelation of who you are in God. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is our greatest form of attack. Can I just say, the Word of God is more real in the sense of eternity than this platform I'm standing on. This is real, right? But it was God's word that was released from God that created the ground that this is on, created the core, created the earth, created the universe, created the stars, created everything. Get that concept in your head. And that same word that God gives us in his word, the promises that we have, we can release them in our lives to see change in our lives. When we understand that, our lives are built on something absolutely amazing. And everyone said amazing. And then we get to the next part of this, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So this morning I want to talk on prayer. You know, without, we can be all armored up, we can have everything, the Word of God, everything loaded up in our lives, but without the constant help of God, we can never withstand the wicked one. See, by prayer we express our hope of our helmet of salvation and our shield of faith. By prayer we acknowledge the gospel of peace. By prayer we maintain our revelation of our breastplate of righteousness. By prayer and supplication we comply with the requirements of the belt of truth. We know how to wield the sword of the word through prayer. You know, when God starts to speak to your heart about the word of God and how to use it, he'll direct how you use that word. So we're going to look at this passage, this one verse, Ephesians 6:18, and we're just going to look at parts of that because there's a lot in this one passage. There's us all armored up. There's a lot here. And the first part it says in there, it says, pray always. Now, I've looked at that and think, wow, how do you do that? Because if you jump into 1 Thessalonians, it goes a little bit further, 5 verse 6, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. How do you pray always? You know, I remember looking at this when I was a young Christian, and I just felt, you know, I had to spend... You hear these stories about people that would have these prayer closets and they would literally get into a closet, close the door and pray. And these people would pray for hours. And, you know, I remember one day trying something similar. It wasn't a prayer closet. It was just a dark room. And I think I lasted about 20 minutes. And I woke up and there was drool on the bed and, you know, half asleep. And I was like, okay, all right. But how do you do that? How do you spend hours in this place of prayer? I mean, the Word of God says pray without ceasing. God's saying that's what we've got to pray always, constantly, be in prayer. So what is God saying by that? Because that's actually quite a tough request. I mean, we had an all-night prayer meeting, and I lasted the whole way through. Me and Deborah and a few others. Oh, no, actually, I think I left the last 20 minutes. Don't know why, but anyway. But that was tough all the way through the night. Oh, okay, don't look at me as if I'm some sort of weakling. Because if you had to pray all the way through, it's tough, right? It takes challenge to sit in there and pray all the way through a night. But this is saying to pray with constant, without ceasing. So we can't spend our life in a closet. There are some people that become monks and they put themselves into a solitary confinement space and they do literally live this way. They literally live outside of sleeping most of the time. They live in some sort of form of prayer. Now, I'm not advocating that we should do that, but there are people that do that and they think that's what this means. But to pray this way is to live with a consciousness, I believe, of our dependence on God. You know, it's the very basis of prayer. The very basis of prayer is that we need God. Think about it. Generally, when you open your mouth to pray, it's because you need God, correct? There's a consciousness that God, you can't do everything in your life yourself. You need help with what you're doing and you need God. What God wants us to get to a place when we pray without ceasing, when we're praying always, is we get ourselves to a place where we're actually conscious of God and our need of God, and you kind of can be somewhat dialoguing in your mind or subconsciously even bringing up God into every situation. You might be walking into a meeting and you're just going, oh, God, this will be great, thank you, God. Or you're just doing whatever you're doing, or you're going somewhere, or you're involved in something. You are consciously involving God or subconsciously involving God in all that you do. Are you with me? That's prayer. Prayer is not just sitting down here and belting out something eloquent that's amazing. Everyone goes, wow, what a prayer. That was incredible. But it's someone that is consciously in touch with God and involving God and talking with God. This is what the Word of God says. When you get to that place of involvement with God, that's when you get to a place of praying without ceasing. And it's actually achievable. It doesn't mean that every minute of every day, but it just means whenever there is something you're involved in, you're involving God in it. And you're dialoguing with God. It's like a reliance. It's like a current that runs through our system. We're consciously always in the understanding that we need God. And do you know what? The Word of God says that's the strongest place for you to be, is when you're in need of God. In our world, it's the opposite. In our secular world, someone that is in dire straits, someone that needs help in every aspect, we kind of, as a world, we look at them, okay, we need to look after them, that's a welfare thing, we'll look after those people. In God's economy, someone that constantly lives in a state of needing God, you are the strongest person around. Because when we're weak, he's strong. Do you get it? It's like your dependence on God. And, you know, some of my faith here is in the past, and if you go through the Word of God and you start to read about the Apostle Paul and Peter, these guys got to a place where basically they are saying of themselves, we don't do anything unless it's Christ. Unless Christ's involved, unless he helps me, unless he's involved in it. And that's the constant, that's the place we can get to. Can I just say a byproduct of this? If you're constantly conscious of your need of God, do you know what you're not conscious of? Sin. Are you with me? If you're actually walking in a place where you notice this, if you're doing something that's wrong that you know is sin, generally at that moment you are not conscious of God. Okay? You might have been conscious right up to that point because your conscience is working and there's a resistance there. But when you step over that line and begin to sin, generally you've got to separate your emotion and separate your connection from God to step into that sin. Would you agree? You literally have to. You literally have to put it aside, put your consciousness of God and who he says and what he said about it, and you step into this place of not being conscious of God for that moment whenever you're doing the wrong thing. So the opposite is true. We can get ourselves to a place where we just literally dialogue and involve God in all that we do, we're actually going to protect ourselves from being a place of sin. Amen? I remember some guy told me way in the early days when I was dating, they said, the best way for you and your girlfriend, which was of that time, to stay pure on a date and not get involved in the wrong thing by doing the wrong thing and overstepping physical bounds and just staying pure in it, is grab your partner's hand and pray before you go on a date and pray that God will use you. It kind of wrecks it for at least a while. You know what I mean? You go, God, you pick them up and, you know, you got this girl and she's looking hot. And, you know, I'm visualizing back in those early days and it's like, okay, honey, let's pray. Because I need help right now. Let's pray. God, hold her. God, we just pray that you would use us. God, protection. God, help me in every way you can. And I would just pray and we would literally do it. And then you get into it and you get in a series of it. God, we thank you for each other. God, we thank you for this amazing gift that we have in each other. And God, we pray as we go out tonight and we go out to dinner and we go to the movies and we go, you know, sit outside the house for a little bit, that you will use us. God, you will use us. Use us tonight in that restaurant. Use us wherever we're going. God, use us for your kingdom. Let us be a vessel together. You know what I mean? Try it. Just try it. If you're sitting there listening to all sorts of music that's the opposite, it's saying get it all on, get it going, and you're in your bedroom, you're getting ready, and this is just the guys, you know, and you got the hairdryer out and it's all pumping and you're getting yourself and you're going to meet this your Christian girlfriend and it's all this secular music. Oh, just get yourself, and you go meet your girl. Yeah, you're going to be prepared. aren't you? It's kind of crazy sometimes, but if you grab it and just say, let's pray, and you know, why don't we listen to a little bit of worship music on the way, and why don't we dedicate this night to God and what we can do? I'll tell you what, try it. It's a lot harder to go down the wrong road. Amen? We're going to stay God conscious. If we stay God conscious, and this is what he's saying, pray, ask God, and get to that restaurant and say, God, God, give us the best seat. Bless us, God. And you know what? Then you start to see all the miracles that happen around your life. Instead of just living, trying to be unconscious of God. So pray always. Next part is, with all prayers and supplication. With all prayers and supplication. What does that all prayers? It means all types, personal, corporate prayer. God's saying, get involved in it all. He's saying, if you want this protection of prayer, get involved in it all. If there is a corporate prayer, if there's a gathering, there's strength in that. Get involved in your own personal prayer. Work out what that is for you, private and social. That word supplication is a requestive prayer. So God is actually saying, be requestive in your prayer. Listing what we want. It says almost, that word actually means be indignant about your situation and believing for God to change it in your prayer. Amen? Like if you've got something going on, it's saying supplication is like, God, man, that's not right. It's not what your word says. I shouldn't be living like this. Shouldn't be happening to me. God, I'm just believing for you. I'm believing for you. That's what supplication means. It's actually knowing, it's entreating God. It's getting into the moment and saying, God, move here. God, you've got to do something. I need you on my side. I am desperate right now. Who's ever prayed a prayer like that? I certainly have. Matthew 7 verse 7 says, there it is. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will those, your Father who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want man to do to you, you do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. What God is saying is get into some supplication. Start asking. Start requesting. Get together as a couple. Start believing. Start putting that request out there. Amen? I honestly know that a lot of couples don't. Can I say that? I know a lot of couples, if you did a survey, how many of you grab hands and you're going through something and you go, honey, let's pray. Let's commit this to God. Let's commit it to God. Let's do it. Let's pray. Let's get involved. Let's see God turn it around. You start. I know there's a lot of Christian that just does not do it. You know, there's a lot of what God's kingdom is. God's just going, use what I give you. Get out there and do it. Number three, it says, in the Spirit. Here we go. Right. That's the other one. That's a good one. But in the Spirit, we pray, number three, Ephesians 6 verse 18, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. God wants our prayers to be connected to him. Are you with me? You might go, that's just out there. Well, not really. Because there were some people out there that did some really wild prayers and they were just for show. Even Jesus talked about them. They'd sit in the middle of some courtyard and they'd pray some repetitive prayer and it didn't mean anything. God wants us to have divinely inspired prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That is talking about the Holy Spirit. Amen? And you know what? Some of your prayer just needs to be slowed down a little bit, and you need to make sure that your prayer connects with God. Are you with me? Because sometimes we just, I don't know, we get things out of whack. We got to realize that we can actually pray. That I've talked about speaking in tongues and praying in the Spirit. You can do that. It's incredibly powerful. If you don't know how to do it, go along to our New Christians course, and we'll teach you about that. Next verse, which passage is Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So there are hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But so that's still praying, right? But it's not working. So there is some prayer that doesn't work. Are you with me? This is the way it goes. There are some people that are just doing some stuff that's got no meaning to it, no power to it, and it's just a ceremony, it's a ritual, it's not reality. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, but you, when you pray, go into a room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret rewards you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. You know what it is? It's heartfelt prayer. Do you know what? I think God just knows when you're just doing nothing. You know, I know when I'm having a conversation with someone and they're just not listening to me. You ever been in a conversation where they're like, yeah, and their eyes like, yeah, yeah. I mean, my wife tells me when we're in conversation and I've drifted. I know some of you guys watching football, whatever you're doing. Yeah, honey, yeah, yeah. You know when someone's dialoguing but they're not there. Where they're answering you and they're saying things and they are just not in that room. They are gone. And, you know, there's some lessons to be learned. Never come between a man and a sport. No, that's not. Or when they're eating. The first big argument me and Marianne and myself had was she wanted to call me and I didn't respond because I had just cooked this massive steak. And this is like early in the relationship. And I remember, and I was trying to get her off the phone. Like, I answered, and, you know, the steak's on the plate, and I'm hungry. I just worked, and I'm just like, I think this is a day where you had the phone. Someone like Mum said, Marianne's on the phone. It was too late for me to go, call her back. Early relationship days, and I remember just going, honey, I'm just at the steak. Yeah, I've got to go. Why do you have to go? I'm just really busy right now. I've got to go. Well, she picked up on it all and it turned into a big argument because she was less important than the steak on the plate. And that wasn't true. I remember I had to go back over and sort it all out, and I should have just given her the time, but the steak on the plate was there. I had it all going. You know what? I just think sometimes your prayer, if you think you're just throwing something out there and there's no heart, no connection with God, no whatsoever, well, great. Are you with me? We can all rattle off a prayer or two that we know. God actually demands more than that. He demands a connection with Him. You know what I mean? And sometimes the most powerful times of prayer are not long, big prayers. There are sometimes where you just know you're in that space and you're saying, God, I just need you. Man, I need your help right now. And you expose your heart to Him. Therefore, do not be like them, for the Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him in this manner. Therefore, pray. Have a quick look here. What He says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you know what? There's a good start. If you're in relationship with God, why don't you start by praying a connection with Him instead of just the requests? Are you with me? I get the whole supplication, desperate part. I get that. But maybe sometimes you should really just connect with God. Are you with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're awesome, God. I thank you. Man, I thank you for everything you're doing in my life. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. God, I just want to do what you called me to do here on earth. I'm your servant, God. I'm a Christian. I love you, God, on earth. And then you start getting into, all right, God, I need some bread. And I need it daily. and forgive those debts, God, those debts, as you forgive them to me, God, I've got all this junk going on. And you get into it. God is personal. Are you with me? We're created in his likeness and image. Don't treat him like some distant cousin that you don't know or some person on the other end of a phone from a telemarketing company that you want to get rid of quickly or someone you don't want to talk to. Give God that communication. Give him your heart when you talk to him. A one prayer like that, I think, is worth 1,000 repetitious prayers. Are you with me? And the last part of this is praying for all, no, with perseverance. Sorry, we're almost there. With perseverance, I got lost. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication. With all perseverance. Our prayers should be watchful. Watching is, you're just alert. We're in a spiritual battle. You know what I mean? We're in a spiritual battle. So our prayers need to be watchful. They need to be, we need to be alert. We need to know what's happening around us. And we need to respond with prayer. And the other part is perseverance. A prayer with hope and faith has perseverance. Have a look at this. Have a look at this then. Have a look at that. Romans 8:24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Can I say some of your prayer just needs to be perseverance? Oh, you know, I prayed a prayer about, you know, someone asked me to pray for someone, for a situation, and I prayed. You know what? How about praying again? And how about praying again? And praying again and believing and sticking in with prayer with that person. Are you with me? Because you know what? What I've noticed about perseverance and prayer is it doesn't always change God's heart because he wants to answer your prayer. What it tends to do is change our heart. It actually sets us up at a better place. We get to the right place and then we see all sorts of things happen. Sometimes God just wants you to persevere in prayer because it's going to do some stuff on the inside of you. Are you with me? If you've built out a prayer and that you leave it there, don't leave it there. Keep going. Keep praying. And the last one here is praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication. The last one is for all the saints. See, the Apostle Paul would have us in this not just praying for ourselves. You know, if our prayers are just about ourselves, then can I just say something? It's kind of got a bit of selfishness to it. Are you with me? How many of your prayers are for other people? Why don't you do like a quick scan of all the prayers that you pray? Are they just about you and your own welfare and your family? Or are you actually praying for other people that are in the church or other your neighbors or other people at work or other people? Because you know what? Prayer is powerful. And we are not called to waste it all on ourselves. If someone gave you something amazing and you just turned around, you know, it's like literally if you were given $1 million and you had a whole bunch of people around in your life and all you do is constantly just spend all of that gift on yourself, you would be a selfish person. Nope, they're going to give you any. Nope, they're going to get nothing. But you know what? Prayer is such an amazing gift. When we get a hold of God and pray God's word through us, that is an incredible gift. It's an opportunity for God to do things in our world. And you know what? God can do whatever he wants when he wants, but he chooses to use us to outwork his will. And he uses our prayer, he uses our speaking of the word. And what you've got to do is realize that if your neighbors aren't saved, the people around you aren't saved, your prayers can change that world. It can change their reality. It can change the reality of someone in the church, someone that you know at work, someone that you've met. You can change a whole system around you simply by releasing your prayer out of your life. That's why Paul said, hey, pray for all the saints. Don't just get caught up with yourself. We're called to build this kingdom. You know, there's great people in this church. That's why I like it when we get together and we do corporate prayer. Because there's so much power to it. There's so much power to someone having prayer. Knowing that someone is with them. And it is good to see Lord Ayres here. It really is. She had a pretty major operation this week. And when one of you or any one of us steps into that place, something goes on. You know what? You know, and you know the power of prayer. You know when another believer comes and gets in there and prays and says, hey, I'm praying for you. You might not have had too much going on, but when you're in a place that maybe your child or your situation, you put out a call and you get all this stuff coming back to you going, hey, I'm praying for you. It's amazing. I've felt it. I know when I've had situations, I've had these texts, hey, I'm praying for you, Pastor. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. All the stuff comes through. It's like, wow. Because I know the power of prayer. And when we as believers release that power that God's given us, situations change. That's why you're part of a body. That's why you're part of a church. That's why you're here. And we want to pray. So why don't we stand to our feet, get the musicians to come. I'm hot, you're hot, we're all hot. And you know, with these little flyers, I would love it if you would pray over these and pop these in some letterboxes and see what God can do. Amen? Seriously. There might be someone sitting next to you one Sunday and they'll say, hey, yeah, I'm here because I got this flyer in my letterbox and I was in a real tough time and God spoke to me through that flyer and it could be the one that you dropped in. You never know. Amen? Amen?